I want to get back a little more to last week. Remember, I gave a report of what Dave, Kathy, and I experienced in the New York Repentance Conference. I don't feel that I fully covered that, not so much in terms of what happened in New York, but the bigger picture of what are Jesus's normative standards for his praying church. Can I say that again? What are the Lord's normative standards? Normative means not above and beyond, but what he actually expects as this is what my people do. That's what I mean by normative. What are his standards for his praying church? I may have to say some things that, again, I don't always want to say negative things, but sometimes hard truth is hard truth. And I'm in a very happy mood today, and yet I feel there's a hard thing that I need to say. And so I hope that you'll just really, really hear the Lord's heart on this. I have a number of scriptures, but some of them are difficult. But before we read the scriptures that are so difficult, let me just try to share something. Do you remember it says in Hebrews that when Jesus lived on this earth, it said he offered up loud cries and tears to the Father. And it said he was heard for his reverent submission. I'm just quoting Hebrews. It said he offered up loud cries and tears to the Father who was able to save him from death, it says. But he was heard for his reverent submission. Now, most Christians read that and think, oh yeah, the Garden of Gethsemane, he cried out. Well, yes, he did cry out in the Garden of Gethsemane, but the writer of Hebrews was not talking about one night of his life. When it said he was heard as he cried out before God with loud wails and many tears, it's not talking about Gethsemane. That was his crowning anguish, yes. It's talking about a lifestyle of intercession. This was a man who stayed on the Mount of Olives all night crying out to his Father regularly. I'm not saying he stayed up all night every night. He was a human being in the flesh and he had to sleep just like we do. I don't think he got as much sleep as we would like to get ourselves. But of course he slept. He had to. He had to eat as well. But many nights he did stay up half the night, sometimes all night. But he wasn't a mystical figure that didn't need sleep and didn't get tired and didn't have any of the bodily needs that we have. You know, he was in the flesh. But we have a wonderful, small, intimate church here. But I don't know about you, but I've been in a lot of churches, not a ton, but I've maybe in the last 5 years been not always teaching, sometimes just visiting, but I've probably been in at least 30 churches, you know. And the American church, like, they're wonderful people. God loves them. I love them. I'm not saying it's terrible. I'm saying it's a generally complacent, happy, good-feeling, comfortable atmosphere in the American church. You come in, you get pumped up with some excellent, there's usually a great band up there. I'm blessed that we don't have a great band. And I hope everyone in here knows what I'm saying. One of the things that drew me to this church was the first time I heard Teresa and her guitar and just the ladies that were singing with her. I think it was just ladies, maybe. I'm sorry, Bob, I can't remember if you were there when I first came here. But what I'm saying is the spirit was so there, but the great technical sound was not there. And I'm a musician, and I'm drawn to great, great music. But the Lord's spirit said to me, listen to the heart and not to the technical brilliance, you know? Listen to that. So what I'm saying is you can go to churches and you get really happy with great music. You can really get excited, and that's good. And then you can have announcements where all these great programs are being announced. And again, I'm not saying these things are terribly bad. But you can have like 45 minutes of awesome musically gifted worship. You can have 20 minutes of announcements. You can have a sermon. And you can probably have a quick prayer at the beginning and a quick prayer at the end. Maybe there's even a time where you lift up some requests that came in on little cards and are handed to the pastor. And then you're starving and you go home and you're happy and you eat lunch and you had church. Now, do you understand I'm not condemning that pattern per se? But something is terribly wrong with this picture. That is not the normative first century church. That's what I'm trying to say. A praying church asks for their heart to be broken with the things that break God's heart. A praying church asks for their hearts to be broken over the things that break God's heart. Now, God is so distant to us sometimes that we don't really picture him sitting up in heaven, weeping rivers of tears before God's altar. I mean, the Lord Jesus. Do we normally picture him as a weeping Savior in heaven? Normally. I want to tell you something. I'm not speaking to you from above, because I spent the first 30 years as a believer. I mean, I spent my first 19 years as a secular Jewish atheist. Okay? Thinking all the cynical thoughts that an intellectual secular Jewish kid from the Woodstock generation would think, you know? But for 30 years as a believer, I never once wept for the wickedness and abominations in this country. I never once wept for the blood of the innocent, of any innocent blood. I maybe cried if I saw a news story where something terrible happened. I was compassionate, but I never even imagined God crying in heaven rivers of tears over murders of innocent children, murders of innocent blacks, murders of Native Americans who, even though they weren't born-again Christians, did not deserve to be slaughtered. Let's look at a couple scriptures that the Lord showed me. Luke 13. I have an Old and a New Testament, as always. Luke 13. Okay. Now there were some present at that time who told Yeshua about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Now, before we keep going, let's just see what happened. Pilate was the ruthless procurator, I guess that's the word, of Judea. He was the Roman, Herod was like the puppet king, but Pilate was, you could just say, the governor of Judea. And so Pilate and his soldiers went into the temple where some Galileans had come all the way from Galilee up to Jerusalem to offer sacrifice in the temple. So here are these Jews that had made a pilgrimage from Galilee, traveled about 3 days.